Both sides confident in Frank Case. The Atlanta Georgian, Wednesday, the 8th of October, 1913, page 1, column 4. Men who accuse Hensley of prejudice of highest type, says Stiles Hopkins. Attorneys for Leo M. Frank announced Wednesday that they invited an attack upon the truth and veracity of the men who made depositions against juror A.H. He, charging bias and prejudice, just for the purpose demonstrating conclusively that every person has made an affidavit is unimpeachable and a man of recognized character and honesty. The state and the defense both are confident over the probable outcome of the motion for a new trial, which will be heard Saturday. Stiles Hopkins, one of the firm of Rosser, Brandon, Slayton, and Phillips, obtained a number of the deposition's defense and investigated carefully the reputation and standing of every man from whom he took an affidavit. He was authority Wednesday for the statement that they are men of prominence and excellent repute in their communities. Absurd, says Hopkins. They have filed depositions charging that they overheard Hensley before the trial of Frank utter violently denunciatory remarks in regard to the defendant and declare his belief in Frank's guilt. Hensley's reply was that he made some of the statements credited to him, but that he made them after the trial and not before. That sort of a defense by Hensley is most absurd, is the only comment that Mr. Hopkins would make on this statement of the juror. Depositions which are on file show that one of the remarks of Hensley was that if the jury ever turns Frank loose, he never will get out of Atlanta alive. This could not have been made after the trial. He also is alleged to have said that he had been summoned as a talesman and might be a juror in the case, in which event he would like to have a part in breaking Frank's neck. He could not have said this after the trial. Prominent men. Mr. Hopkins said that J.J. Nunnally, one of those who had made depositions, is vice president of the W.H. Nunnally Company of Monroe and is identified with the Nunnally and Harris Supply Company, in which capacity he met Hensley, who is an agent for buggies, whips, and supplies. None of the affiants, said the lawyer, would have any occasion to make a deposition harmful to Hensley unless it was the truth. All, in fact, he declared, had been most reluctant to have anything to say about the matter until they were forced to make their statements by being summoned into court. John M. Holmes, another who swears he overheard Hensley make violent remarks against Frank, is the partner of John D. Walker, a prominent banker. The others occupy similar positions of prominence. Page 2, column 5. Both sides confide Ent in Frank Case. Men who accuse Hensley of prejudice of highest type, says Stiles Hopkins. Attorneys for Leo M. Frank announced Wednesday that they invited an attack upon the truth and veracity of the men who made depositions against juror A.H. He, charging bias and prejudice, just for the purpose demonstrating conclusively that every person has made an affidavit is unimpeachable and a man of recognized character and honesty. The state and the defense both are confident over the probable outcome of the motion for a new trial, which will be heard Saturday. Stiles Hopkins, one of the firm of Rosser, Brandon, Slayton, and Phillips, obtained a number of the deposition's defense and investigated carefully the reputation and standing of every man from whom he took an affidavit. He was authority Wednesday for the statement that they are men of prominence and excellent repute in their communities. Absurd, says Hopkins. They have filed depositions charging that they overheard Hensley, before the trial of Frank, utter violently denunciatory remarks in regard to the defendant and declare his belief in Frank's guilt. Hensley's reply was that he made some of the statements credited to him, but that he made them after the trial and not before. That sort of a defense by Hensley is most absurd, is the only comment that Mr. Hopkins would make on this statement of the juror. Depositions which are on file show that one of the remarks of Hensley was that if the jury ever turns Frank loose, he never will get out of Atlanta alive. This could not have been made after the trial. He also is alleged to have said that he had been summoned as a talesman and might be a juror in the case, in which event he would like to have a part in breaking Frank's neck. He could not have said this after the trial. Prominent men. Mr. Hopkins said that J.J. Nunnally, one of those who had made depositions, is vice president of the W.H. Nunnally Company of Monroe and is identified with the Nunnally and Harris Supply Company, in which capacity he met Hensley, who is an agent for buggies, whips, and supplies. None of the affiants, said the lawyer, would have any occasion to make a deposition harmful to Hensley unless it was the truth. All, in fact, he declared, had been most reluctant to have anything to say about the matter until they were forced to make their statements by being summoned into court. John M. Holmes, another who swears he overheard Hensley make violent remarks against Frank, is the partner of John D. Walker, a prominent banker. The others occupy similar positions of prominence. Page 3, columns 1 and 2, page 3, column 1, another, Frank Juror, accused. Page 3, column 2, Frank counsel will broaden jury attack after reinforcing their attack upon juror A.H. Hensley Wednesday by the statements of a dozen leading men who swore to the good character, reputation, and reliability of the persons who had charged the juror with violent prejudice and bias. Counsel for Leo M. Frank made the sensational announcement Wednesday that depositions would be filed before Saturday alleging prejudice against a third and possibly a fourth member of the jury, which convicted Frank of the murder of Mary Fagan. Through making a most careful investigation of every juror who sat in the Frank trial, the convicted man's attorneys have not let up on Hensley, as a new affidavit obtained Wednesday bears witness. The latest affidavit is signed by a man who declares that he overheard Hensley as long ago as last May give vent to a decided opinion of Frank's guilt. The conversation occurred on a street in Atlanta, according to the deposition. It was remarked in Hensley's hearing that the murder did not seem to be of the character that would be perpetrated by a member of Frank's race. Hensley is said to have replied, in effect, "I don't care. I believe that Frank is guilty, and if by any chance I am put on the jury, I will do my best to convict him." Hensley's defense that the Sparta men were mistaken or lying, who testified they had heard him utter denunciatory remarks against Frank, before the trial met a prompt reply Wednesday in the obtaining of affidavits from a number of Sparta's most prominent citizens testifying to personal and moral character and honesty of John M. Holmes, Sher Gray, and S.M. Johnson, who signed the depositions. Among those who testified to the trustworthiness of the three men were W.H. Burwell, Speaker of the last State House of Representatives, T.B. Hightower, Sheriff of Hancock County, Henry H. Little, Ordinary, G.W. Rives, Mayor of Sparta, Thomas F. Fleming, Speaker Burwell's law partner, H.L. Middlebrooks, Cashier of the First National Bank of Sparta, H.D. Chapman, Tax Collector, R.E. Wheeler, Cashier of the Sparta Savings Bank, W.E. Wiley, Clerk of the Superior Court, A.H. Birdsong, County Treasurer, E.A. Rozier Sr., President of the Bank of Sparta, and J.D. Bennett, also of the Bank of Sparta. Page 3, Column 3. Slayton gives respite to condemned Negro. Upon recommendation of the Prison Commission, Governor Slayton today respited for 20 days. Bob Gaithright, a Negro, sentenced to be hanged in Gwinnett County Friday. Gaithright was convicted of murder about a month ago, and his case was not appealed to the higher courts. His attorneys desire to ask clemency, however. Page 4, Column 2. Frank counsel will broaden jury attack. Argument on the motion of the defense for a new trial for Leo Frank, scheduled to be heard by Judge Roan next Saturday, will be postponed another week, according to an interview given by Solicitor Dorsey in Valdosta Wednesday. The solicitor declared that his progress in the investigation of the claims of Frank's attorneys had been slow, and that the state could not possibly shape its case in time for the date set. After reinforcing their attack upon juror A.H. Hensley Wednesday by the statements of a dozen leading men who swore to the good character, reputation, and reliability of the persons who had charged the juror with violent prejudice and bias, counsel for Leo M. Frank made the sensational announcement Wednesday that depositions would be filed before Saturday alleging prejudice against a third, and possibly a fourth, member of the jury which convicted Frank of the murder of Mary Fagan. Through making a most careful investigation of every juror who sat in the Frank trial, the convicted man's attorneys have not let up on Hensley, as a new affidavit obtained Wednesday bears witness. The latest affidavit is signed by a man who declares that he overheard Hensley as long ago as last May give vent to a decided opinion of Frank's guilt. The conversation occurred on a street in Atlanta, according to the deposition. It was remarked in Hensley's hearing that the murder did not seem to be of the character that would be perpetrated by a member of Frank's race. Hensley is said to have replied in effect, "I don't care. I believe that Frank is guilty, and if by any chance I am put on the jury, I will do my best to convict him." Hensley's defense that the Sparta men were mistaken or lying who testified they had heard him utter denunciatory remarks against Frank before the trial met a prompt reply Wednesday in the obtaining of affidavits from a number of Sparta's most prominent citizens testifying to personal and moral character and honesty of John M. Holmes, Shai Gray, and S.M. Johnson, who signed the depositions. Page 5, Column 2. Frank Counsel Will Broaden Jury Attack. Argument on the motion of the defense for a new trial for Leo Frank, scheduled to be heard by Judge Roan next Saturday, will be postponed another week, according to an interview given by Solicitor Dorsey in Valdosta Wednesday. The solicitor declared that his progress in the investigation of the claims of Frank's attorneys had been slow and that the state could not possibly shape its case in time for the date set. After reinforcing their attack upon juror A.H. Hensley Wednesday by the statements of a dozen leading men who swore to the good character, reputation, and reliability of the persons who had charged the juror with violent prejudice and bias, counsel for Leo M. Frank made the sensational announcement Wednesday that depositions would be filed before Saturday, alleging prejudice against a third and possibly a fourth member of the jury, which convicted Frank of the murder of Mary Fagan. Through making a most careful investigation of every juror who sat in the Frank trial, the convicted man's attorneys have not let up on Hensley, as a new affidavit obtained Wednesday bears witness. The latest affidavit is signed by a man who declares that he overheard Hensley as long ago as last May give vent to a decided opinion of Frank's guilt. The conversation occurred on a street in Atlanta, according to the deposition. It was remarked in Hensley's hearing that the murder did not seem to be of the character that would be perpetrated by a member of Frank's race. Hensley is said to have replied in effect, "I don't care. I believe that Frank is guilty, and if by any chance I am put on the jury, I will do my best to convict him." Hensley's defense that the Sparta men were mistaken or lying who testified they had heard him utter denunciatory remarks against Frank before the trial met a prompt reply Wednesday in the obtaining of affidavits from a number of Sparta's most prominent citizens testifying to personal and moral character and honesty of John M. Holmes, Shai Gray, and S.M. Johnson, who signed the depositions. Page 6, Column 2. Frank Counsel Will Broaden Jury Attack. Argument on the motion of the defense for a new trial for Leo Frank, scheduled to be heard by Judge Roan next Saturday, will be postponed another week, according to an interview given by Solicitor Dorsey in Valdosta Wednesday. The solicitor declared that his progress in the investigation of the claims of Frank's attorneys had been slow, and that the state could not possibly shape its case in time for the date set. After reinforcing their attack upon juror A.H. Hensley Wednesday, by the statements of a dozen leading men who swore to the good character, reputation, and reliability of the persons who had charged the juror with violent prejudice and bias, counsel for Leo M. Frank made the sensational announcement Wednesday that depositions would be filed before Saturday, alleging prejudice against a third and possibly a fourth member of the jury which convicted Frank of the murder of Mary Fagan. Through making a most careful investigation of every juror who sat in the Frank trial, the convicted man's attorneys have not let up on Hensley, as a new affidavit obtained Wednesday bears witness. The latest affidavit is signed by a man who declares that he overheard Hensley as long ago as last May give vent to a decided opinion of Frank's guilt. The conversation occurred on a street in Atlanta, according to the deposition. It was remarked in Hensley's hearing that the murder did not seem to be of the character that would be perpetrated by a member of Frank's race. Hensley is said to have replied in effect, "I don't care. I believe that Frank is guilty, and if by any chance I am put on the jury, I will do my best to convict him." Hensley's defense that the Sparta men were mistaken or lying who testified they had heard him utter denunciatory remarks against Frank before the trial met a prompt reply Wednesday in the obtaining of affidavits from a number of Sparta's most prominent citizens testifying to personal and moral character and honesty of John M. Holmes, Shai Gray, and S.M. Johnson, who signed the depositions. page 7, column 6. Frank lawyers will agree to week delay, expressing the opinion that a further delay in the hearing of the motion for a new trial for Leo M. Frank will only serve to make them more secure in their case against juror A.H. Hensley, whom they charge with prejudice and bias. Counsel for Frank Thursday indicated that Hay were entirely agreeable to Solicitor Dorsey's request for a postponement of another week until he should be able to complete his review of the defense's reasons. The solicitor, who, with his assistant, A.E. Stevens, has been going over the voluminous amended motion of the defense with its 115 reasons for a new trial since its filling last week by Frank's lawyers, refuses to discuss the case except to express his confidence that a new trial will be denied. He stands firmly by his original declaration that the defense is without adequate grounds to ask for a new trial. He and Attorney Stevens, isolating themselves in Valdosta, where they will not be interrupted by office visitors, have given their entire time to the preparation of their argument against any movement which will reopen the sensational murder case. While the hearing before Judge Roan, set originally for October 4th, will have few of the spectacular features that marked the trial of Frank, the lawyers are making ready for a titanic struggle. The solicitor is determined that the verdict of guilty shall stand. He is using every means to stave off what he regards as the remote possibility of a reversal of the verdict that brought the death sentence to the defendant. Solicitor Dorsey prepared his request Wednesday for a delay of another week in the hearing. Judge Roan already had made known his willingness to extend the time if it was needed by the solicitor. When he learned next Saturday, he promptly announced that the delay would be granted in accordance with his promise. Page 10, column 5, Hooper recovers his stolen watch. A gold watch that was stolen on June 2nd from Frank A. Hooper, the attorney who was associated with Solicitor Dorsey in the trial of Leo M. Frank, was recovered at a Peters Street pawn shop by detectives Wednesday and restored to the owner. The watch was stolen from Mr. Hooper by two bandits who attacked him as he was walking to his home, numbers 779 Piedmont Avenue. Mr. Hooper was knocked down and the watch taken from his pocket. Page 11, column 5. Hooper recovers his stolen watch. A gold watch that was stolen on June 2nd from Frank A. Hooper, the attorney who was associated with Solicitor Dorsey in the trial of Leo M. Frank, was recovered at a Peters Street pawn shop by detectives Wednesday and restored to the owner. The watch was stolen from Mr. Hooper by two bandits who attacked him as he was walking to his home, number 779 Piedmont Avenue. Mr. Hooper was knocked down and the watch taken from his pocket. Page 17. Column 3. Hooper recovers his stolen watch. A gold watch that was stolen on June 2nd from Frank A. Hooper, the attorney who was associated with Solicitor Dorsey in the trial of Leo M. Frank, was recovered at a Peters Street pawn shop by detectives Wednesday and restored to the owner. The watch was stolen from Mr. Hooper by two bandits who attacked him as he was walking to his home, number 779 Piedmont Avenue. Mr. Hooper was knocked down and the watch taken from his pocket. Page 21, column 3. Negro forgot his wife's maiden name. The daily grind of the divorce mill in Judge Ellis's division of Superior Court produces its comedy as well as its tragedies. Pat Harrell, Negro, furnished the comedy Wednesday when he swore that he became the lawful husband of one Jesse sometime during President Cleveland's administration. He got a verdict despite his lapse of memory. Page 22, column 5, Hooper recovers his stolen watch. A gold watch that was stolen on June 2nd from Frank A. Hooper, the attorney who was associated with Solicitor Dorsey in the trial of Leo M. Frank, was recovered at a Peters Street pawn shop by detectives Wednesday and restored to the owner. The watch was stolen from Mr. Hooper by two bandits who attacked him as he was walking to his home, number 779 Piedmont Avenue. Mr. Hooper was knocked down and the watch taken from his pocket.